So, amen. Hosea chapter 8, if you will. Hosea chapter 8. And we're going to read all 14 verses of this chapter here this evening. Of Hosea chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Notice here in Hosea chapter 8, starting in verse 1, reading down to the end of the chapter, the Bible says this, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere that they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workmen made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up, now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, they, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. I sacrifice, they sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings to eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof." Let's pray, and we will get started with the message this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for loving us enough, Lord, to warn us about sin and the effects of sin. Lord, I do thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us, Lord, so that we don't have to bear the penalty, Lord, of sin in everlasting fire. But Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. If everyone here, if they've trusted you as their personal Savior, Lord, by the word of their testimony, Lord, then each and every one of us know that it's true that we tend to go our own direction, Lord, rather than following you. We tend to forget you so often. But Lord, I do pray that you would help us as believers to stay close to you. Help us, Lord, to put away this sin that is so easily besetting us, Lord, as the Bible talks about. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Savior, they'd come to know you tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with us, help us to honor and glorify you, and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last time we were in this book here, in Hosea chapter 8, we looked at the very first verse of Hosea chapter 8 when it said, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth." And I preached a message entitled, Are we sounding the trumpet, or are we blowing the trumpet? And what we see in verse 1 of this chapter is the fact that all throughout the book of Hosea, we have seen time and time again that God has told Hosea exactly what to say. He's told him that these people, they are God's chosen people, but they've transgressed against me. They are making themselves idols. They've turned to idolatry and spiritual adultery. They've turned to all of these sinful things. And God has went time after time. We've went through 7 full chapters of God saying, "Hosea, this is what you are to say to the people." But then we get to chapter 8, and as we studied last time we were in this book, the tone changes a little bit. It's no longer, Hosea, go out and just tell this message to the people. God knows that destruction is coming. God knows that judgment is on the horizon. And God is no longer saying just what to say, but he's telling Hosea, you need to sound it in their ears. You need to sound it louder than you ever have. They need to have no mistake about it. Judgment is coming because of their sin. We studied that last time we were here. As we all know, Israel was not listening to the warning. And understand this, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, if you are living in unrepentant sin, your sins will find you out. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter who you are. We cannot hide sin from God. We may be able to hide it from mankind. We are professional con artists when it comes to sin, aren't we? We can hide it from everyone. But yet, we cannot hide it from God. Lord, help us. There will come a time at which the messages have come and we've refused them, or maybe we have lied to ourselves, saying that someone else needs this. Maybe we've gotten away with sin for so long, and maybe we've been able to push off that conviction for a certain amount of time. But understand, our sin will find us out. But praise the Lord for his mercy. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, none of us would be where we are today. Even after Israel has disobeyed God and gone against him, remember what God told Hosea to do here. He says, keep preaching the same message. Keep warning the people. He said, but set the trumpet to thy lips. Ensure that they're hearing this message. And every time we hear a message preached out of the Word of God, God's doing the same thing to us, ensuring that we've heard the message. God loved his people so much, he wanted them to turn to him rather than having to feel the wrath of God. And God says, tell them again, but this time, say it louder. Now, I want you to look at the end of chapter 8 there in the very last verse. And I want to preach to you a message that I have entitled this, Have You Forgotten Your Maker? Have you forgotten your Maker? Understand there in verse 14, it says this, For Israel hath forgotten his Maker. You know, that is a quite contrary statement to the message we heard this morning about Enoch, isn't it? He was a man who believed God. He trusted God. His faith was in God. He followed God. Yet here we see that this nation of Israel hath forgotten his Maker. It's my desire tonight to look at the lives of these Israelites here and see exactly what they did and see the judgment that would come from that, and ask the Lord to help us, to keep us from making those same mistakes, because we have the same flesh that they have. And we want to run from the Word of God rather than running to it. We need the Word of God in our lives. Our flesh needs that. It needs to keep us in check. Only the Word of God can do that. Notice, first of all, here this evening, let's notice the guilty party. Notice the guilty party. Look at verse 2 of chapter 8, if you will. Hosea chapter 2 and chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Now, we know, of course, by studying through this book here, without a doubt, that God is speaking about the nation of Israel here. But God calls them by name here. He says, Israel shall cry unto me. Understand the ones who were guilty here. Because it's easy for us many times to think that all of these bad things that people do, and all of these sins that people commit, and all of these terrible, unthinkable things that we see happening each and every day, it's so easy for us as believers to think to ourselves, well, I just can't believe that people would be that sinful, and that this world has gone that far. It's the people of God we're talking about here tonight. We're not talking about the unbelieving world. He's not talking about these pagan groups that were around them. He's talking about the people of God. And he's saying that they have forgotten their Maker. These were not the Philistines. These were not the Amorites. These were not the Egyptians or even the Babylonians. These were the people of God. Now, the people of God, they were surrounded by these other groups. And the people of God did not listen when God said, go in and destroy these groups. Do not mingle with these groups. Do not go in and have children with these groups. Don't do that. They didn't listen to God. And now they are in this predicament here tonight because they have disobeyed the word of God. God is dealing with a very select group of people. He's dealing with a group of people who know God. These are people that know exactly what the scriptures say. These are people who have the law of Moses. That's who we're talking about here. And yet it says they've forgotten their maker. Now, this is in no way saying that they forgot the existence of God, but here's what it's saying. They are living as though there's no God. Think about that. Each and every one of us, we know people who claim to be believers, but yet they're living as though there's no God. Would to God that would never be said about any of us. But if we follow our flesh rather than following God, we will be in that exact same circumstance there. That many professing believers are living that way. There's many who claim to be Christians, but when you look at their lives, they seem to have forgotten God. It seems as though they've forgotten their Maker. Just as God was instructing Hosea to blow this trumpet as loud as he could, to set that trumpet to his mouth there. He was, just as he was instructing him to do that, he was telling him to warn of this coming judgment. We as believers need to be doing the exact same thing. But many times we're so busy being like the world, why would we sound the trumpet to tell them to stop doing what they're doing? Many believers cannot sound that trumpet because they're guilty of the exact same things. Maybe you're here tonight, you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, but you're living as though you've forgotten your Maker. You're living as though you have no accountability to God. Understand this. God is giving each and every one of us every breath that we have an opportunity to confess our sins unto Him. He's giving an opportunity tonight to make it right. Maybe this trumpet is being sounded for you tonight. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing in hearts tonight, but each and every one of us need to understand God loves us so much. He's not this God that just hates us and just condemns us to hell. No, He wants what's best for us. He wants us to get sin straightened out in our life. He's sounding that trumpet. He has the trumpet being sounded for us tonight, just like He was sounding it for the nation of Israel. Understand this, if you are saved here tonight, you are His child and He cares about you. And if you have something in your life, make it right with God or judgment will come. It's going to come. But we have such a wonderful promise from God. The book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, it says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But understand, this is exactly where most believers are in this next verse. If we say that we have not sinned, many believers will convince themselves that what they're doing is not that bad. The Holy Spirit within your life says otherwise. And understand, he says here, if we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Understand this tonight. If there's something in your life that needs to be confessed unto God, do it tonight. Don't continue to wait. Don't allow the devil to continue to lie to you saying, you'll be okay. Nobody will find it out. No, God knows about these things and He's sounding the trumpet for you tonight. Church, understand this. Our world's in a mess. Our world is overwhelmed with confusion, and we can go on and on about sin in the world and how they've forgotten about God and ripped God out of schools and everywhere else, when the truth is that the reason this world has forgotten about God is just like it was when it had forgotten about God with the nation of Israel. Israel was not doing what they were supposed to be doing. Therefore, these other nations would not know about God. Our nation's forgotten about God because for too long we as believers have not confessed our sins unto God and allowed Him to revive our lives. But it's easier for us to blame it on the politicians, isn't it? Strategically speaking, if you will, by God, understand this, where the nation of Israel is. Why is it that all of these countries are always fighting for that place in Israel? Because whoever owns that land will rule that part of the world. Whoever owns it. Because they can stop the trade from going one way or the other, all because they own that place. Why did God put Israel there? Because Israel had an opportunity in the place in which God put them to have a positive impact on the rest of that part of the world. And they neglected it. All because they forgot their Maker. Church, this is the people of God we're talking about here tonight. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is dealing with in hearts tonight, but understand this, we need to live a life that is sold out to God. We need to live a life that is quick to confess our sins. Understand here, where God put Israel, they could literally reach all of known civilization of that time, yet they floundered and gave themselves to the lust of the flesh. And God said, judgment will come. Because it's going to come. We as believers in America, we live in a free country. But for too long, though we are free, and though we can go and tell others about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, though we have the opportunity to go out and knock on doors, though we have the opportunity to hand out tracts and be a light in this lost and dying world, though we have everything at our fingertips as Americans, for too long, we've just been silent and we've had this type of attitude. Well, I don't have to be a witness. Well, I can decide whether or not I want to do that. Understand this. If we're not doing what God's commanded us to do, it's sin. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But many times we think, well, that's just a it's just a suggestion. No, it's not. What about drinking alcohol? We would say, well, you're not supposed to drink alcohol. And I would agree with that. Biblically speaking, the Bible does not speak positively of alcohol. It says wine is a mocker. And we would say, well, if you're a believer, you should not drink that. And if you're drinking that, you're living in sin. But then at the same time, we'll say, well, so-and-so can go soul winning. I don't have to. They're both a command from God. One's just a command not to do something. The other one is a command to do something. Understand this. We read this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ said, if ye are my friends, if ye keep my commandments. But for too long, we as believers have worried more about the wickedness in this world rather than giving this world exactly what they need, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the guilty party here is not this world. It's the people of God. Because as a whole, we have forgotten our Maker. We would never admit that. We would never say, well, I've forgotten my Maker. But if you look at most professing Christians today, what you're going to find is that is exactly the message their life is screaming, is that they've forgotten their Maker. They've forgotten God. This was not pagans that God was speaking to here. This was Israel, God's chosen people. This isn't just Republicans or Democrats. This isn't just Mormons or Catholics or Jehovah's Witness or anything like that. Church, this warning that is going out is for us tonight, for every single believer. Don't continue to live in sin. Confess your sin unto God. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But if you do not do that, God says judgment will come. Believers, the people of God, are the guilty party. And if we were honest with ourselves, if we were standing before the judge, I think many of us, if not all of us, would have to plead guilty of that. Be the guilty party. Notice number two here tonight, not only the guilty party, but the crime committed. The crime committed. Here in verse 2, of our passage, notice, Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Understand this, the first crime they were committed was this: they were deceiving themselves. They're absolutely deceiving themselves. God is saying here that they were saying, we know God, when in all reality, God said at the end of the chapter that they had forgotten their Maker. They were trying to convince themselves, and no doubt the people around them as well. Well, we're doing okay. They were deceived. They had forgotten him. So many believers, when they're young, they live as though they're chasing their own dreams, chasing their own desires. And though some things may not in and of themselves be sin, if they're taking them away from God and His will for their life, notice, it is sin. It happens as well in older believers, but the truth of the matter is this. Many of the older believers are closer to God than the younger. Why is that? Because they've been through some things. God's proved Himself true because they've remained faithful. But here's what happens many times in believers' lives. They say, well, God may have done that for you, but He can't do it for me. He can. God will prove Himself true to anybody. We just need to stay true unto God. We need to follow God. We need to stop deceiving ourselves that we are some super spiritual person who doesn't need daily Bible reading, some super spiritual person that doesn't need that close walk with God every day. Well, I wasn't able to pray today, but that's okay. I'll just pray a little bit more tomorrow. Or I was able to pray a little bit longer yesterday. I wasn't able to do my personal devotions today, but it'll be okay. And then we wonder why we're so weak spiritually speaking, because many believers are deceiving their own selves. Church, God is faithful. God is true. Each and every one of us here tonight, there's a truth in the book of Ecclesiastes that all of us need to understand this, and especially the young people here tonight. The Bible says this: remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember Him now. Why did God tell us to remember Him? Because He knows, just like the nation of Israel, we're all oftentimes guilty of forgetting Him. Remember now thy Creator. This is the time. Do not be deceiving yourselves that things are just going okay. No, all of us need the Lord's help. Don't lie to yourself as Israel did. They say they know God, when in reality, their life has said they've forgotten Him. Also, something else they were guilty of is this. They were choosing the profane rather than the holy. There in verse 3 of our passage, it says this: Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. Israel cast off the thing that was good. You know, God had provided for Israel in ways that man cannot understand. Now, how in the world could all of this be provided for this nation? How could they have the victories in this battle and in that battle? How could they have the Red Sea parted? How could they have manna from heaven every single day? How could they have all those things? God had given so much forth to them to sustain them. And it says this, that Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. They've gotten rid of it. They were choosing the profane rather than the holy. In the context of this, when we cast off one thing, we pick up another thing, don't we? That's true in each and every one of our lives. In the Old Testament, we read that one of the duties of the judges and the priests was this, that they were to teach the people the difference between the holy and the profane. Teach them the difference. How to choose what is good and what is not. How are we to choose between the holy and profane today? How are we to do that? By being in the Word of God. It will tell us. The Holy Spirit will lead us each and every decision we go to make. We know whether it's the right decision or not, because that Holy Spirit will tell us so. Guides us, lets us know what the difference is between the holy and profane. God had given Israel everything that they needed. But they had cast off the good things, the holy things, and they filled that place with the profane things. You know, in today's world, believers do the exact same thing. Many times God will bless a believer, and it seems as though that believer needs more and more. And what happens many times immediately following that circumstance? God blesses a person with maybe a wealth or something like that. Many times they get that, and then all of a sudden they forget about God. All of a sudden, they're going to go and do this weekend. All of a sudden, they're going to go out on these, I bought a $40,000 bass boat, so I'm going to go fishing on Sunday instead. See, many times the Lord blesses us. Of course, everything we have is because the Lord's blessed us. Amen. But how many times do we take that, we cast the good aside, and we pick up the profane instead? Think about the gifts that God blesses us with, and if we use those things for profane things, imagine what that does to our Heavenly Father. Many times we take the wonderful things that God has given us and we cast it off. We trade it for the profane. And all of a sudden that house that He has given us, it just isn't good enough. We need bigger. That car isn't nice enough. We need better. And to pay for that, someone begins to miss church services and they fall out of ministries and all those things. All because we begin to choose the profane rather than the holy. When all the time God was proving Himself true to us, but there came a point in our life in which we forgot our Maker. And all of us are susceptible to that. Many believers, and maybe some even in this room tonight that are on the brink, you have a choice to make. Will it be the holy or will it be the profane? Not only were they choosing between the profane rather than the holy, but also understand this, another crime they committed was this, that the leaders that they followed. Look at verse 4. It says, they have set up kings, but not by name. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. They set up these kings here, and the Lord says they did that, but not because God told them to. We could go into a political rant here tonight, but I'm not going to do that, amen? Setting up ungodly leaders and all of those things. But understand this, it sounds just like America, doesn't it? Now think about the nation of Israel. God desired that the nation of Israel for that time would be ran by the judges. He put judges in place to orchestrate that. And he had of course, Samuel was a prophet, and he had these ones that would lead them. What did Israel say? We want a king. They went to Samuel and they said, talk to God and tell God we want a king. Samuel says, I'm not going to do that. Well, he ends up going and he's praying and asking the Lord for wisdom there, and he says they want a king. God says, give it to him. You see Samuel sitting there thinking, but it's not what's best for him. God says, but that's what they asked for. And understand what's happened here. As you continue down through the life of Israel, we see a pattern. They didn't forget their maker overnight. They didn't forget God when just one decision happened. It was a process. It was a fade, wasn't it? Over and over and over again. They've set up kings, and God says, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Many times we try to set up things in our lives that God says, that's not what you need to be following. That's not where you need to be going. That's not what you need to be doing. You don't need to be involved in that. You don't need to go there. You don't need to go here. Don't get close with this person. We have all of these things in which the Lord is leading us and guiding us. But many times we're setting up those kings in our lives. And notice what God says, but not by me. And we walk ourselves into judgment and destruction. And we find ourselves lower than we've ever been. And here's what we wonder. Why did God do this to me? When the whole time God says, I tried to guide you. I tried to help you. I tried to steer you away from that sin. The Holy Spirit, He was there convicting you and trying to get you to turn your path around. And you didn't listen. You forgot about me. Remember, it's exactly what happened to Israel. Many times we as believers do the exact same thing so often. Someone hears a truth from God's word, and rather than understanding that's what's best for us, and it's not trying to hurt us, but trying biblically to help us, oftentimes we'll turn them off and we'll run the other direction. We allow the devil to convince us that person is who is really trying to help us. The devil convinces us that they're our enemy. Lord, help us. Exactly what Israel was doing. Let's be sure that we're following the Lord, not forget our Maker. And then we'll end with this tonight. Notice the penalty to be paid. I want to read quite a few verses out of this chapter. Look at verse 3 and 4 starting out. It says this, Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold, and they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Look down at verse 6 through 8. Notice, for from Israel was it also, the workmen made it. Therefore, it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Verse 10 and 11. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be made unto him to sin. Down in verse 13 and 14, they sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt, for Israel hath forgotten his Maker, and buildeth temples. And Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. You know, God is telling them here, reminding them once again, that there's a penalty to be paid for sin. We know that to be true when it comes to unbelievers. If someone does not trust Christ as their Savior, they're going to burn in hell for all eternity. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says the wages of sin is death. That's not talking about just mortal death, but death in hell for all eternity. But there's also a price to pay for believers as well. Understand what God was saying here. Israel was going to try their best to build things for themselves. They were going to try to build these cities. And God says everything that Israel tries to do, I'm not going to bless it. They're going to plant. It's not going to yield any fruit. They're going to try to build cities, and I'm going to send the enemy in to devour the palaces thereof. It says they have multiplied fenced cities. I will send a fire upon his cities. God says, everything that Israel is going to do, I will destroy it because they've forgotten about me. You know, many believers have forgotten about God. Verse 1 declares that they will be in captivity. If you're saved and yet you have forgotten your Maker, understand this, though you're going to heaven, you are living in captivity on this earth. I can guarantee it. Because if someone is living in known sin, in their mind, they are held captive by that sin. There's no peace there. It's just turmoil over and over and over again. You may be able to convince yourself throughout the day while you're staying busy. You may be able to convince yourself that you're doing okay. But when you lay your head on the pillow at night, every one of us know this is true. When there's unconfessed sin in our lives, when we lay our head on the pillow at night, that sin's right there to meet us, isn't it? It's there. Lord, help us to be quick to confess our sins. Don't be living in bondage to sin. It doesn't have to be that way. Who the Son sets free, the Bible declares, is free indeed. While you're running from God, while you're forgetting your Maker, understand, just as Israel had no rest, you will have no rest either. There are many believers who have no peace. They have no rest because they are living in known sin. That's not God's desire for us as believers. God's desire is for us to have rest. It is for us to have peace. It is for us to cast our cares upon Him. The Bible says, for He careth for you. He cares for us. You don't have to live that way. One of the penalties of Israel's sin is that they were to be cut off. Think about this for a moment. The people of Israel were to be cut off. Maybe you're here and as a believer, you're living in known sin. Maybe you've suffered some loss, or maybe you've been cut off from ones that you love. And you know that maybe it's because of sin that's been in your life. Understand this. God is warning us tonight. Maybe you've tried to silence that trumpet in your life, but God has showed you over and over and over again, you need to confess that sin unto Him. Get it right. Get it right with God. Maybe you're here and you're still living in that part of life in which you're living in that act of sin, but you don't feel as though you're being judged as of yet. Can I warn you tonight with this warning? Israel thought they were okay too. But God said they had forgotten their maker. If you look at verse 6, God declares that there will be a calf broken in pieces. Maybe you've forgotten your maker and you're living in known sin. What kind of destruction will have to come to your life before God finally gets your attention? God is warning these people over and over and over again, not because He doesn't love them, but because He does love them. He loves them so much that He's warning them, and that's why He loves us as well. Maybe you're here tonight, and to the best of your knowledge, you're not living in known sin. You're not living in sin that you haven't confessed unto God. Can I encourage you tonight? Keep that short sin account with God. When the devil comes and he tempts us to sin, and when we do sin, let's confess that unto God, because we need to live in sweet communion with Him. I don't want to live a life of judgment like Israel was in. None of us should want that. God's warning His people over and over and over again. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saved, and maybe it seems as though you're getting away with sin. Maybe you're even having some fun, you would say. Understand this. The Bible says this, that the pleasures of sin last only for a season. Sorrow will come. And when it does, I can guarantee it will be more than you can bear. Church, maybe there's someone in this room tonight. I don't know everyone's heart, but maybe there's someone in this room who, by the way you're living, you understand that you've forgotten your Maker. Maybe there's someone in this room that by the way that you're living, maybe everyone else thinks everything is okay. But when you do a self-examination, you understand you're living with unconfessed sin, and God's not happy with that. Maybe that's you here tonight. Would you get that right tonight? Ask the Lord to cleanse you from that sin. Maybe you're here and you haven't forgotten your Maker. Understand this. We are all just one decision away from taking a step towards that. One decision. Decision after decision. After decision, when you follow the nation of Israel, you see that God was blessing Israel, and then they turn to idolatry, and they get taken captive, and then they cry out to God, and God delivers them, and then they serve God, and what happens? They turn back to idolatry, and they get taken captive. It's round and round this circle it goes. Church, it doesn't have to be that way. We can live for God. He gives us the power to do that. He sent the Holy Spirit to live within us so that we would have the power to live for Him. You don't have to live a life of judgment, a life of this pain and things like that. You don't have to live that way. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, I'm keeping a short sin account with God. Keep that up. Keep asking God to forgive you of your sin. Draw closer to God each and every day. But maybe you're the one here tonight that the Holy Spirit is speaking to and saying you need to get that sin right. You need to get it right tonight. Maybe this will be the last warning before judgment. I don't know. Only God knows. But understand this. With unconfessed sin, there will always be judgment. Have we forgotten our Maker?